Some analysts and sections of the media have sought to portray this market activity as a vote of no confidence on South Africa. The presidency rejects the notion that a commercial approach by BHP Billiton equals to a hostile environment for investors. Some of the issues that are being cited are in the process of being resolved with the participation and partnership of business. For example, in June 2023, President Cyril Ramaphosa, along with members of his cabinet and senior business leaders, agreed to establish a partnership to reverse the economic downturn and rebuild confidence in the country's trajectory. Three priorities were identified as undermining investor and societal confidence, namely load shedding, the challenges in the freight logistics sector, as well as crime and corruption. The Joint Initiative on Crime and Corruption, JICC, was established to crime and corruption and support government's efforts to remove South Africa off the FATF grey list, to foster a safer and a more ethical South Africa. The first successes has been to rebuild the credibility of critical state institutions in law enforcement. These efforts include appointing new leadership in the South African Police Service, the DCPI, also known as the Hawks, the National Prosecuting Authority, the State Security Agency, and the South African Revenue Service. Once in the hands of credible leadership, these institutions have made significant progress in the fight against crime and corruption. And I'll list just a few to remind colleagues and citizens. The recruitment of 20,000 police trainees and an additional 4,000 public order policing members. The establishment of 20 specialized SAPS economic infrastructure task teams working with social partners to tackle illegal mining, construction site extortions, cable theft, and vandalism to economic infrastructure. By November 2023, the task teams had made over 4,000 arrests for damage to critical infrastructure and 3,000 arrests for illegal mining. The NPA recorded an average conviction rate of 91% in high courts, 82% in regional courts, and 95% in district courts since 2019. The NPA Investigating Directorate has taken 34 state capture and corruption cases to court involving 203 accused persons and 65 entities. The NPA has also secured the conviction of over 500 government officials and nearly 800 people in the private sector on offences related to corruption since 2019. The Special Investigation Unit, SIU, has recovered over 8.6 billion rands of stolen funds from corrupt individuals. 14 billion worth of freezing orders have been granted for state capture-related cases to the NPA's Asset Forfeiture Unit, with 5.4 billion rands recovered and returned to the state. While much still needs to be achieved to turn the tide around completely, the significant steps have been taken to rebuild credible institutions, have begun to bear fruit and set the stage for further progress. President Ramaphosa will continue leading a multi-stakeholder effort to accelerate existing government interventions to address the scourge of crime and the impacts on the economy. This partnership should reassure both local and foreign investors that considerable resources and expertise are being leveraged in government and in the private sector to curtail crime, continue improving the functionality of our ports, and enable an investor and societal environment that fosters inclusive economic growth and prosperity. The presidency will implore the investor community to note the optimism that has been expressed by the business community in various publications and platforms on the progress achieved across these three focal areas. This will reassure investors that momentum is building and will be maintained to reduce crime and corruption, continue improving energy supply, and resolve the logistic backlogs. President Ramaphosa also finds it satisfying that both domestic and international investors continue to demonstrate confidence towards South Africa through their continued investments, as evidenced in the last few years, and in exceeding the investment targets set at the beginning of the term. The President is confident that the rebuild capacity of the state remains firm and focused on responding to crime and corruption, as well as other challenges that I have mentioned. In the statement that we'll distribute, I've included quite a long list of significant investment commitments that have been completed. Some include Amazon Web Services investing 15.6 billion rands in the period between 2018 and 2022 to support demand for cloud computing services. Google announced investment in its Google Cloud region in South Africa, the first on the continent in 2022, that is expected to launch this year to the tune of 2.3 billion rands. The Meta Hesto Harness facility in Guadaguza invested 1.4 billion rands. It was launched in 2022. Toyota has invested 4.2 billion rands between 2019 and 2022. Isuzu has invested 1.2 billion rands. Mercedes invested 10 billion rands, or had invested 10 billion rands by 2023. Ford invested 16 billion rands. Nissan, 3 billion rands by 2023. It's quite a long list, which we will supply in the statements after this session. That shows increasing investor confidence on this country. Therefore, the narrative that is emerging out of the proposed BHP bulletin and Anglo-American transaction is not true. On the logistics, for example, as well as ports of entry, the National Logistics Crisis Committee has already contributed to the reduction of trucks waiting time at the Lebombo port of Mozambique from 9 hours to about 3 hours, which is just short of an hour of the global average of 2 hours. In Beitbridge, the Border Management Authority has enabled the reduction of people processing times from 4 hours during the festive season at ports to about 30 minutes. This was further stated by travelers themselves to the media during the Easter period. The BMA prevented about 281,000 people from illegally entering the country. It also stopped counterfeit cigarette goods to the value of 250 million rands, which was intercepted and stopped from entering our borders. If we go into energy, again, we'd like to reject the claims that recent improvements in the energy supply are a ploy related to the upcoming elections. We will therefore like to remind the public of the following facts. The actions taken since President Ramaphosa announced the Energy Action Plan, the EAP, in July of 2022 have had a direct impact in reducing the severity and frequency of load shedding, which was the primary objective of the plan. The EAP outlined a multi-pronged strategy to end load shedding, including improving Eskom's plant performance, accelerating the procurement of new capacity, enabling private investment in electricity generation, and supporting rooftop solar. The implementation of Eskom's generation recovery plan, including increased maintenance and recovery interventions at the 6 of the worst performing power stations, together with the return of 3 units at Kusile, have contributed to reduced breakdowns and improved plant performance. Tax incentives and financing mechanisms have facilitated a rapid increase in rooftop solar, which has more than doubled to over 5,000 megawatts since the announcement of the EAP. Regulatory reforms introduced in 2021 and 2022 have unlocked massive investment in new generation capacity with a confirmed pipeline of 136 projects representing 22,500 megawatts. These projects have begun to connect to the grid and are alleviating the energy supply shortfall. While the energy system remains constrained, the combined impact of these interventions through the EAP is making a significant difference. We invite members of the media and the public to look at the 18th month report of the EAP, which is available in our presidency website. So that will help dispel all the myths around why is the improvement with respect to load shedding. Just one issue abroad with respect to the Freedom Flotilla that is sailing to provide humanitarian assistance. And this is happening in a particular context, notably where Israel, as the occupying power, does not provide aid while imposing its siege on Gaza. It is thus aid that the United Nations, as well as other states and aid organizations like those on the flotilla, have been forced to provide in the face of Israel's refusal to comply with obligations under the international law as an occupying power. Just as the judges emphasize in their concurring opinion with the International Court of Justice March 28 order, Israel bears, and I quote, the primary responsibility to ensure unhindered and unimpeded access, in particular the land crossing access for the delivery of humanitarian assistance to the Palestinians in Gaza on the basis that Israel is the occupying power in the Gaza Strip and controls Gaza's land border and all its land crossing access, as well as its air and maritime areas. As such, the flotilla efforts, or the flotilla's efforts, must be understood in the context of both the man-made humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza caused by the occupying power, as well as Israel's use of starvation as a weapon of war. Any action taken to impede the passage of the Freedom Flotilla will constitute a further and egregious breach of the two binding orders of the ICJ issued to prevent irreparable harm to the rights of Palestinians protected under the 1948 Convention on the Suppression and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, commonly known as the Genocide Convention. Moving on to the President's public program, and I'll try and run through this very quickly. Tomorrow, Tuesday, the 30th of April, the President, as the Grand Patron of the National Orders, will bestow the 2024 National Orders Awards on distinguished citizens and eminent foreign nationals who have contributed towards the advancement of democracy.
Well, that's where we cut out of that media briefing. Quite a few issues being touched on there by the spokesperson in the presidency, Vincent Magwenya.